meeting is being recorded.
We're back here to the Neil Haley Show and my co-host Juan Aliman of the 80s Hours with me. Juan, how are you? And we're going to have a great guest today.
Yes. Hi, Neil. I'm doing fine. I'm excited to be talking to this person. They are a blues rock singer, songwriter, has been active since the 80s. And we're talking about Deborah Bonham. Good morning, Deborah. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Juan. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolutely, Deborah. We're excited to have you. And Juan has some amazing questions. So go ahead, Juan.
All right. Deborah, now, one of the things that I noticed is that, of course, you know, one of the things, as soon as somebody looks at your name, they say Bonham.
Yeah.
That Bonham, right?
Yeah.
Now, you are the younger sister of John Bonham, of course, of Led Zeppelin fame.
Yeah.
And you were encouraged to get into music by, was it Robert Plant that encouraged you?
No, I hassled him. That's a bit more. Yeah, I mean, he sort of pointed me in the right direction and told me to get out on the stage and pay my dues, really. And I did go around with my nephew, Jason, and, you know, ring him up and say, can we come round to your studio? but yeah, I mean, yeah, he was great. He pointed me in the right direction, let's say.
What did John think when you told him you want to be a musician?
Well, you know, I was still at school. So John was, I don't think he would have really entertained the idea. I remember telling him once when I was about 16, 15, that I wanted to be a singer. And he just looked at me with dread, you know, that sort of not my kid sister in this industry, you know. I think he thought I was going to be a vet or a lawyer or something. So so I stayed on at school, and I was still at school when he passed away, unfortunately. I stayed on at school, but I was already, you know, I was doing music anyway. But I think now that I've come through it all and all these years have passed by, he would have, I'm sure he would have got up and played with us. You know, we like the same music. All the music I loved, I got from him, really. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Now, you've toured with the likes of Van Halen, Alanna Miles, Foreigner, Paul Rodgers. Who were some of your favorites when you were touring to share the stage with?
That's just such an unfair question. I mean, I'm not going to tell you. They were all great. I mean, Van Halen, no, I just got up with them at a launch of their album, actually. I was in the audience, and Peter Bullock, our guitarist, and my husband, went over to see them and told Sammy Hagar that John Bonham's kid sister was in the audience. And I'd actually gone to the ladies' toilets, and I just heard him shout out, you know, Deborah Bonham's here, come on, get up and sing. And I was like, oh, my good grief. And we did rock and roll Led Zeppelin, and I didn't let Eddie Van Halen do a guitar solo. He was bent down in front of me on his knees at one point going, let me do the solo. And every time I looked at him, I went, oh, my God, it's Eddie Van Halen. And I just kept it singing. So, yeah, I was a bit uncool. But I've been blessed, you know. I've been on stage with some of the greatest, you know, including Robert Plant, Paul Rodgers, you know. I got up with Peter Frampton and Humble Pie and Pete, our guitarist out of the Bonham Bullock band, has played with Paul Rodgers. He's backed him on tour, you know. He stepped up as in the sort of, not in the Paul Kossoff taking over, but when Paul Rodgers wanted to do his free music, Pete got the job. And so, yeah, we've been really blessed. And all of them, I mean, I've never met anybody who's not been generous and beautiful, you know. So, and I honestly mean that. I think the only one that Pete played with and I haven't is Van Morrison, who was a bit sticky.
Oh, okay.
just sort of looked at Pete, you know, and gave him this look. But they're both Belfast guys, you know, they're both Northern Irish. So what do you expect?
And that learning experience that you went through in this process, who do you think you learned from the most in your career?
Who did I learn from the most? Mm-hmm. I would definitely say both my brothers for the amount of music, and my parents for the amount of music that I was exposed to. You know, I listened to some of the greats, and so I learned so much from them, and then from John, and I guess it would be Robert, and we're very close, so I've always watched him and watched his career since Led Zeppelin, which has been phenomenal. But Paul Rodgers, and I mean, all these guys, Steve Marriott, Ann Peebles, I had the joy of playing with Ann Peebles. And I think all of these people, they mean it, you know, there's no halfway house with these guys. When they go on stage, they mean it. And it's from the heart, and it's from the soul. And that's something that I've learned, you know, if you're going to go out there and do it, you better do it like you mean it.
Wow. That's, I think it's really important that artists who express themselves like that, who write their music, who perform their music, do push forward and say, you know, if you're going to go out there, give it your all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you don't believe it, you haven't got a hope in hell of convincing anybody else. Mm-hmm. So you've really got to mean what you're doing and believe in what you're doing, you know. I mean, it takes time and it takes guts, and you know, you've got to stick with it. If you really do believe what you're doing, you'll convince other people.
Oh, wow. Now, coming up, what do you have coming up? I think in April you have an album coming up.
Yeah, this new album, Bon and Bullock, and it's an album, 13 tracks of some obscure and some classic covers. I decided that it was time to do like a project rooted in the blues of some of the great songs that I absolutely love. And I wanted to do it as Bon and Bullock and not as just Deborah Bon and Band, because we've been a band for so long and it is such a butt-kicking live band. And it really is a great band. Peter Bullock's an amazing guitarist. And I didn't want people to think, oh, it's just a girl singer with an acoustic guitar, because we're anything but that, you know. So I just thought, now's the time, you know, at this late stage. It was like, no, I want it to be Bon and Bullock. So we've made this album. I produced it. It's out on Quarto Valley Records, which is a fantastic Grammy Award-winning independent label in California that have just been so supportive and let us be what we want to be musically. I think that was the main thing about Bruce Quarto and Mike Card and Nina Miller, whose brother's Buddy Miller, by the way. And so, yeah, the album comes out April 29th, and we're real excited about it. Really, really excited.
It sounds like you're very excited about it. And it's just something that, you know, anytime an album comes out, what do you do in preparing for it? You do interviews like today. What else do you do to try to get that album out there? What do you yourself?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we've done a couple of shows already, and we've been playing the new material, and it's gone down a storm, and that's been exciting in itself. You know, after the pandemic, being able to get out on stage and then play new material, it's just been great. I'd forgotten how much I really missed it until I saw the guys. We're pretty much like a family. We've been together for so long. And, well, Pete's my husband, so he is family, I suppose. That's what we're doing. We're just getting out there, playing the stuff, and doing interviews like today, as you say. And yeah, it's exciting. It's great that it's exciting, because it's been such a wretched couple of years, hasn't it, for everyone? And there's so much bad news around all the time. I just feel like, oh, I just desperately want to get out and play and just play and go and see live bands as well. That's what I want to go and do, and listen to great music and try and get back to where we were, you know, before wars broke out and pandemics, you know. So...
Now, being with a band as long as you have been, as far as like together, it's funny that you mention it's like family. You know, Pete, of course, is your husband, but the band as a core, how long has it been since 85? The core?
I've known Ian, the bass player, since then, yes. You know, we were, and in fact, we were even younger than that. Ian and I were in our teens. Ian Rowley on bass. So we've been together years and years. And then I met Pete in 1990, and we immediately joined a band, formed a band together. And then the keyboard player has been 23 years. And the drummer is a new guy. He's 14 years.
He's That's a new guy.
And he played, the drummer, Richard Newman, his dad is Tony Newman. He was with Sounds Incorporated and David Bowie as a drummer. Wow. And Richard played in his own right. He's an amazing drummer. And he played with Steve Marriott and Rory Gallagher. So he joined us. And and here we still are, you know, through thick and thin, we've managed to keep going. And it's been great, you know, and not seeing them during the pandemic was tough.
Mm-hmm. And getting them back together. So what keeps the success of not breaking up the band? I guess your husband is one reason, but what about?
No, they just do what I tell them to do. They don't argue. Oh, I'd like to say that. Honestly, I must be dreaming because they argue. No, keep it. I think because we all respect each other, you know. We respect our talents. I mean, everyone in their own right are great players and great people. And so we can have a fight, you know, we can argue. And, you know, 10 minutes, half an hour later, we're best mates again. So it's sort of, it's a bit like brothers and family, yeah.
I think that's important, especially in the dynamic of a band. And I listened to several of your songs, and you guys sound great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I listened to some of the live stuff, and wow, the way you command an audience. How long does it take, as far as for confidence, for you to stand in front of an audience and be able to command them like that?
Do you know, I don't know. I think as you get older and you naturally become more confident in what you're doing, mm-hmm. Certainly in the very early days, I probably wasn't like that, but I had great teachers, you know. I watched Aretha Franklin, I watched Janis Joplin, I watched Paul Rodgers and Robert Plant and Steve Marriott and Otis Redding, and I watched all these great people perform, and you know, again, you've just got to mean it, because if you don't, nobody's going to believe you. So I guess it's just been years of constantly watching these guys and seeing that how they got lost in the moment. If you watch Janis, she's completely in the zone, you know, when she's singing.
Oh, yes.
That's important. And for that, you need a great band, because before I met Pete and we got our band together, in maybe some other bands earlier on, if I didn't feel it on the stage, then it's, you know, I'm not very good at pretending, you know, it's got to move. The music's got to move me. And sometimes I've been on the stage with this band, with Bon and Bullock, and I forgot to sing because I'm so grooving away to what they're doing, you know, and I'm absolutely loving what they're doing. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to sing, you know.
I'm not here as a fan today. I'm here to sing.
Quite often I think, I just want to go and watch you guys, which I got the pleasure of doing when Paul Rodgers took them to back him. And it was fantastic, you know, watching what they could do.
And that command, and commanding that audience, it just got to feel right, right? It's what you do. It's what you love. And the more you do it, the more you understand your audience, the more you understand how to command people's attention. And it doesn't happen overnight. So for young musicians out there, what do you think is the first thing they really need to look at when they're performing?
Well, I would just say what I've said really is they've got to believe what they're doing. They've got to believe in what they're actually doing and love the music that they're trying to put across. Because I think if you're on stage and you're loving it and an audience can see that you're loving it and that and you're loving it, the band playing it and the music that you're doing, people pick up on that vibe. Mm-hmm. And then once people start to pick up on that vibe, then you can reach out to them. You know, you can do that. That it does take, it's a stagecraft, and sometimes it takes a while to know that somebody is picking up on what you're playing. But you can see it in a lot in the audience faces sometimes. You know, I try not to look too much. I'm just getting into the moment myself and enjoying us on stage. But I can see somebody's face, and you can just see that they're getting it. And when that happens, you're like, yeah, you know, it's. And I think that's really all you can do. You've just got to really love it on the stage yourself, and love the music that you're performing. Yeah.
In support of the album coming up, do you have any North American tour dates?
No, not yet. We're desperately waiting to see how the, you know, things are going to open up. Mm-hmm. And we haven't got an agent over there yet. So we're sort of saying to everybody, you know, if you love what you hear, bring us over. we'll come. We're desperate to get out there. So that's what we're doing at the moment, trying to see how it's going to open up and finding the right agents to bring us out there.
Biggest crowd you've ever played in front of?
Wow, I'm just trying to think. I would probably think it was the Stars Align US tour in 2018. That was scary because it was big amphitheaters. Paul Rogers was playing, Jeff Beck and Ann Wilson, and I was opening up. And my band, the Bonham Bullet Band, were playing with Paul Rogers. So I went on, just my voice and my old friend from when we were teens, Ian Hatton, who was in a band with my nephew Jason Bonham for a while, called Bonham, and had some great success in America. But I asked him if he'd come and play guitar for me, you know, for this tour. And he said, yeah, sure. And he said, what are we going to do? And I said, just me singing and you playing guitar. And he said, oh, yeah, what sort of venues? And I went, well, they're sort of amphitheatres. So he walked out with his guitar with mega, mega stage. And there's just us two little dots and just surrounded by, you know, people. And it worked. It worked. They were so fantastic to us. We had standing ovations and people cheering, and it was really great. So, yeah, can't wait to get back out there.
Now, as far as music that you like to listen to.
Yeah.
I do an 80s show.
Okay.
So what are some of your favorite 80s artists? And you don't have to say, oh, this is my favorite. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But what is some of the kind of music that if... you had a jukebox, you would play at home, 80s.
From the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you straight away, one of the 80s bands that I absolutely loved is a band called Talk Talk. I don't know how big they were over in the States, but I absolutely loved Talk Talk. Mark Hollis, the singer, songwriter, they were fantastic. Colour of Spring, their album. They would be my 80s band, I think. Yeah, I mean, if I was at home playing if I'm just playing music, I tend to be a little bit earlier, 60s and 70s, really. Okay. So I'm a big Little Feat fan. I love Little Feat. I love American rock as well. I love Boston and all those bands. So, you know, I can be seen sometimes screaming my head off to More Than a Feeling, more than once. You know, Bob Seger, the whole lot, it all comes out if we're having a little party or something, you know. And I love all the Motown, the Spinners, you know, Rubber Band Man, and I love the OJs, all of that. So Four Tops. So that's my sort of Crosby, Stills and Nash. I mean, I've got a complete eclectic mix of music.
That's fantastic. I have a question on Led Zeppelin, because again, I saw the documentary that was on, I think it was on Reels. Yeah. Do you feel the way the band is remembered, especially, you know, because of your brother and everything, is remembered in the right way, Zeppelin, or you think it's sometimes they're misunderstood?
I think it's the right way, you know, for the majority of time. I mean, I think people get so hung up about the hedonistic lifestyle and what Zeppelin were all about. And I think people love to think that they were these, you know, these warriors going out there, goodness knows what. But actually, it's all about the music. And for me, that's Led Zeppelin. It's, I think all the other stuff gets a bit tiresome. But musically, I just don't think... they're just the most phenomenal band. I mean, it was a total privilege growing up with that music. The most unbelievable band. I mean, it changed my world when I first saw them, and I was very young when I first saw them play. And the otherworldliness about them, the way they captured an audience from the minute they walked on stage, you know, all four of them, people just had their mouths open, you know. It was like, oh my goodness, what is this? And you were instantly transported somewhere else, you know. You were in this world. Anything could have been going on outside.
Exactly.
But you were in this place watching Led Zeppelin, and you were just away on another planet. So, yeah, I'd like to think that that's what they'll be remembered for, certainly.
I definitely remember them for the music. I grew up listening to bands like Led Zeppelin, like Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's another one. Love Pink Floyd.
ELO.
Yeah.
I just saw Jeff Lynne's ELO a couple of years ago when they were touring here in Washington State. And I was just taken aback by how good the music is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I loved what Jeff Lynne did with Tom Petty as well. Mm-hmm. I love that. Absolutely, because I'm a big Tom Petty fan as well. So I really enjoyed what Jeff did. But ELO, they did some incredible shows as well that took the audience on a ride, you know. I mean, fantastic, yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
All right, so we're kind of running out of time. The thing I wanted to ask is best place where we can, you know, listen to the album and stuff and go. Where can we go, Deborah?
Well, there's our website, which is deborahbonham.com. It's will be for sale on all the usual platforms. You know, it's coming out on Quarto Valley Records, so their website will say where it can be bought. And I just hope everybody plays it and people hear it and enjoy it, and we get to come over there because that's what we want to do. We want to come and play live. So it will be deborahbonham.com, and Facebook is Deborah Bonham, and Twitter as well.
All right. And Juan, you can find information on you where?
Yes, you can go to pictureperfectpodcasts.com. I have two different podcasts. You can go there and find out about each of those. We'll
Fantastic.
Be featuring this interview on the 80s Hour. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Deborah, and to learn more about you. And,
oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You have an amazing voice.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Sharing it.
And it's the information you're able to bring. It's great as well to learn some of the things the artist in this also talk Led Zeppelin. So we appreciate you coming by, and best of luck, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Both of you. You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.